This is the social program on Radio Islam International. We are joined in studio this morning by Maulana Ibrahim Abbam. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
It's good to have Maulana with us here in studio this morning. How are you doing, Maulana?
Always good to be in studio, and always good to be face to face.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, this morning on the social program, we're speaking about the lessons that we have learnt from the recent unrest and the turmoil that we were here in South Africa a few weeks back. And even though the looting, the protest has stopped, the nation is still trying to come to terms with it. And we have to look back at it and see that what are the lessons that we can learn from this turmoil.
Yes, I just want to give a small introduction to the program. And firstly, whatever has happened in our country is extremely sad and tragic. There is a certain attachment that grows to the country that you are living in. And what has happened will always be sad and tragic. And we hope that, inshallah, there would be greater calm, peace and prosperity and goodness for the country in which we are living in. Whatever has happened, we firstly like to say it happens with the will of Almighty Allah. We do not understand and fathom the reason. Allah Ta'ala knows. But we ask Allah Ta'ala for afiat and goodness. And we also stretch our hands, and we also give our words of consolation for all of those who have suffered any type of loss of life, loss of property, loss of their possessions. We offer our condolences and support and our sympathy. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, whoever consoles a Muslim with regard to any of the losses or with any difficulty, then Allah Ta'ala will grant him a shade on that day when there will be no other shade other than the shade of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We might not be able to understand the grief and the losses of people. We can maybe fathom, we can give words of encouragement, but we will never be able to fathom the losses and be able to completely understand the difficulty that they are going through. But we can offer words of consolation. And one of the words of consolation that we can offer, and that is that sometimes there are things that happen that may be, said, asa antakro shea, is something that there are something that is, you find it to be not good against your whims, desires, against what you plan. But Allah Ta'ala has kept some good in it. And there are examples of that in our history. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha lost her husband. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that, read this dua, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khlufli khayran min'a. Oh Allah, reward me in my difficulty and grant me something better. She said, I used to make the dua, but I used to say, who's going to get, or where I'm going to get a husband better than Abu Salma? And Allah Ta'ala made it such that she became a ummul, among the mothers of the ummah. She got married to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah in the Holy Quran gives the example of Musa and Khizr. فَانْتَلَقَا حَتَّى إِذَا لَقِيَا غُلَامًا فَقَتَلَ. That Musa Khizr, under the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, took the life of a young child, the child of parents who were very attached to the child. Now, of course, it was a great moment of sadness. But Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَرَدْنَا أَيُّبْدِلَهُمَّ أَرَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَقَاتًا وَأَكْرَبَ رُحْمًا. Allah would replace it with something that was better. Ulama write that the same parents gave birth to a woman who became, according to one riwayat, the mother of one prophet, and according to Abdullah ibn Abbas, the mother of two prophets. And through the means of that particular prophet, such a great amount of people benefited and came upon the path of guidance. So sometimes there can be something that could be said, but from the Allah Ta'ala might bring about certain aspects of goodness. And we hope that inshallah this will also result in a similar manner. And to those who feel naturally, who have lost their businesses, who have lost their possessions, it's a natural thing to see that, is it worthwhile for me to carry on again? Let me come down, let me restructure, let me downsize. Maybe it is like that. You can look at it at that particular situation. But maybe my whatever little bit of words, let us not look at it and say, I'm not going to start all over again. There's a hadith that comes in Abu Dawud Sharif that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, مَا أَكَلَ أَحَدٌ تَعَامًا قَتٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَيْ يَأْكُلَ مِّنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ. There is no risk better than the risk that a person earns with his own hands and own efforts. وَإِنَّ نَبِيَ اللَّهِ دَاوُدَ كَانَ يَأْكُلُ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ. Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam used to eat from the risk that his own hands, you know, his own effort. So as much as we feel, let us look at that, that what you do with your own hands, your own effort, there's a barakat in it, and it's part of the sunnah. And of course, there's another dimension with regard to whatever is happening. And that is that we are living in a country which is perhaps one of the most unequal countries in the world. Officially, the stats is 32% unemployment, 7.2 million people unemployed. Unofficially, it might be even much more than that. Now, we cannot resolve the entire situation with regard to, you know, 7.2 million people who are unemployed, grant them employment. But whatever is within our means, let us try and do that. Let us share. Those people whom we know within our own circles, our workers, our employees, our domestics, let us see how we can share with them to uplift them. You know, not only help them, but also try to uplift them in terms of providing for the education of their children. Let us continue doing that. That is our legacy. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us. And maybe lastly, let me say, there were some of the situations in recent history. You know, 70, 80 years back at the time of the partition of India, the people who remain in India were greatly in stress, greatly in anxiety, because they were being attacked. People were moving over to Pakistan. The people who were staying in India, there was a very great question mark with regard to their safety. At that particular time, the ulama at that place told the Muslims of India, stay where you are. And Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayhi went from village to village. Many villages he went and he said, the Allah that is in Pakistan is the same Allah who is in India. He will grant you protection if you turn towards him. Mawlana Abul Kalam Azad went to the Delhi Jami Masjid and he told the Muslims, remain here. This is your legacy of your forefather, and establish yourself in this particular land. Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri, a group of ulama went to him and he told them, we will remain here and we will make our home here and we will play our part in doing whatever we need to be to establish ourselves here in terms of our akhlaq, in terms of our contribution. And lastly, someone yesterday told me, who was close to Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he said it was either Mufti Mahmud Sahib or someone in that particular category amongst our ulama said that even if I'm the only one living and left alone as a Muslim in India, I will stay to give azan. I will be the only one I will give azan to be able to say that I'm going to stay here in this country and raise the flag and the kalima la ilaha illallah and be able to propagate and proclaim our Islam. Maybe that is what the type of things that we need to be doing. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, and may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us and make it easy for everyone.
I mean, yeah, it has been difficult for many people, but like you mentioned there, Maulana, that the lessons that we can learn from there, that after every difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely bring ease. Sometimes it comes in a form of a test. Sometimes a person loses wealth, he loses someone that is close to him, and at that moment it's to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep that positive mindset. I would say that is very important. Can be difficult, especially if a person has lost everything, but we have to just continue going. To the listeners, you can interact with us. We want to know from your perspective as well, what are some of the lessons that you have learned, you know, during this unrest, this violence that the country has seen in this last few weeks, and let us know that what is the lesson that you think we need to learn. What is it that needs to be done as a citizen here in South Africa, as a Muslim citizen here in South Africa? Share with us your messages on 0727861548, or you could give us a call as well on 011-854-1548. Now I can continue.
Yes, I think these are just some of my introductory remarks in terms of what are some of the things that we can do continuing going forward. I would like to listen to the listeners. What do they feel? And of course, there might be a lot that is in the chest of people. There might be a lot that is in the hearts of people. What has happened? It's not only in KwaZulu-Natal. Maybe KwaZulu-Natal bore the brunt of what actually happened. But of course, even in places in our own backyard, so to speak, there was great amount of anxiety in lands. There were places in Sebokeng, places in Germiston that I know people who have lost great amount of wealth. We need to be finding that, yes, our sympathies were there, but we need to pick up the pieces. We need to pick up the pieces and start moving ahead. Sometimes it is difficult to say. It might be easier said than done. And maybe sometimes people who have had this type of difficulty might turn around and said, it's easy for you to say these type of things because you are not directly impacted. But at the same time, then we still feel that that is a general type of guidance, that listen, we know it is difficult, we know it is there, but what are the alternatives? We can't throw up our hands in the sky and throw it above our head and say, listen, we don't know what to do, and we're not going to do anything. We need to pick up the pieces. We need to start moving forward. Those who are not affected, let them take lessons. Maybe what can we do as a community to be able, as individuals, as a community, within our own structures, what can we do to make the situation better?
So let us know the messages, 0727861548. After the ad, we'll also, after 9:30, the lines will also be open, so you can give us a call on 11854-1548. One listener saying, yeah, the one lesson that we can surely say is that there's nothing that is certain in this world, that your conditions can change so quickly, and you should appreciate what you have.
Yes, and I think that's a very, very great lesson, because things can be completely going well your way, and all of a sudden something can just change overnight, and you know your situation can be reduced. So don't take things for granted. Always turn towards Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Find ways and means protecting what you have. Turn towards Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Ask Allah Ta'ala with great amount of passion. Read your morning and evening du'as every day to be able to ask Allah Ta'ala for protection. No one should leave home in the circumstances that we are in without reading the du'as. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allahumma inni asaluka khayr al-mawlaj wa khayr al-makhraj. Bismillah, walajna wa bismillah, kharajna wa ala Allahi rabbina tawakkalna. All of that is on its place. We need to be able to turn towards Almighty Allah. Warhamni bi qudratik alayya. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us because of your qudrat over us. When we do feel and we do believe that Allah has full control over each and every aspect of our life and each and every decision with regard to what we do, prosperous or otherwise, then there is no doubt whatsoever that we have to ask Allah Ta'ala, beseech Allah Ta'ala, beg Allah Ta'ala for the mercy that is there because Allah has control over us. وَإِنِّي لَا أَثِكُ إِلَّا بِرَحْمَتِكَ. Oh Allah, we do not rely upon anyone but by your rahmat. لَا نَثِكُ إِلَّا بِرَحْمَتِكَ. We do not have any reliance on anything but your rahmat, your mercy. We ask of you your mercy to be able to give us a sense of prosperity, a sense of afiyat, a sense of ease, a sense of safety for ourselves and our children and our family members and our communities in these times of difficulties and uncertainties.
28 minutes past the hour of 9. This is the social program on Radio Islam International. This week we're speaking about the lessons that we have learned from the recent unrest and the turmoil that South Africa had witnessed. What are the lessons that we can learn from it? We're going to take a short ad break. When we come back, we'll continue with the program. Remember, you can WhatsApp us. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548.
With Delight's range of cooking oils, spreads, rice and mace meal, you'll be dishing out the most delightful dishes every day. Delight. Try today. Delight is delightful.
Dua at the time of rain. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. O Allah, make this beneficial rain.
Stashy Distributors, your favorite packaging, baking and storage solution store situated in the heart of Fordsburg, Johannesburg. Visit our concept store and experience our extensive range of exceptional quality products, impeccable customer service and business with integrity policy that is sure to bring you back again and again. We do deliveries. Stashy Distributors, 6 Clare Road, Fordsburg. Call us on 011-492-0033.
For your convenience and ease of parking, Honeybee has opened up a brand new entrance located at our masjid side next to Lakshmi Cash and Carry, where you'll find ample parking. Make use of our 2 convenient entrances and enjoy your shopping at Honeybee. Honeybee, our prices don't sting.
Nelson Mandela once said, "We know too well that our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians." Help Palestine. Give to Gaza, bid for Gaza. Radio Islam International is auctioning an exclusive Gaza GP number plate. Bids will be open to the public with all funds going to Gaza. Gone. Go to www.radioislam.co.za and click on the banner for details.
Main Palestine hoon, ye mera jurm hai. Radio Islam International invites its community to its 26th annual general meeting to be held on Wednesday, the 25th of August 2021 at 8 p.m. online. The agenda is as follows: welcome and qiraat, reading the notice to convene the AGM meeting, confirmation of the minutes of the previous AGM held on 7 October 2020, matters arising from the above minutes. Chairperson's address: to consider and if seen fit to approve the activities of Radio Islam, discussion of the audited financial statements, adoption of the financial statements. A copy of the full financial statements are available on Radio Islam's website under the About Us section. Go on to www.radioislam.org.za. Appointment of auditors as well as general. Immediately thereafter, a special general meeting will take place inshallah in order to discuss and adopt the memorandum of incorporation, which is the constitution in terms of the Companies Act of 2008. A copy of the memorandum of incorporation is available on Radio Islam's website under the About Us section. In order to register online, kindly go to www.radioislam.org.za/AGM2021. Deadline for registration is on the 18th of August 2021. Kindly ensure that you have the Microsoft Teams app installed on your device in order to participate. A link will be sent to your email address before the AGM.
This is a social program with Maulana Ibrahim Bum. Call 011-854-1548. Tweet at Ibrahim Bum.
This is the social program on Radio Islam International. Maulana Ibrahim Bum with us here in studio this morning. And we are discussing the lessons that we can learn, you know, from the recent unrest, the recent violence that we had witnessed in our country. And a few messages that have come through. We'll start off with that. The first one, Maulana, saying that many people, and I'm sure Maulana has heard of it, are discussing leaving South Africa for more stable countries, saying that this type of riots, this type of violence will happen again and again, and it's not good for our children, it's not good for our future. What does Maulana advise on this?
Well, the first thing is, these type of things are individual choices and individual decisions. It's not possible to say that tell person who wants to go, they don't go. But as a community, as a broad-based type of solution, how many percentage of people can have the luxury or have the opportunity or have the option to say that we want to go abroad? That even if we take it as, at best, maybe 2%, 3%. What are going to happen to the 97% of the people? You know, maybe 2 or 3% might have the option of going. Whether they should go or not is not something that I'm definitely saying you must go. There are instances that people have gone abroad and have not done well. People have gone abroad and have got caught up in the very same thing that they have stayed away from. There are other issues that are out there that it might be more difficult to just settle down. There's other issues that comes about that is there. For example, you might be faced with Islamophobia more than what you are faced with here. And we have never been able to witness Islamophobia right directly in your face. So there are issues everywhere. And even if we, for example, tell people that you must go, how many percentage can go? So there is not an overall solution for the entire community. The entire community, we have to stay here. Most of the people, 97, 98, if not more, percentage of the people are going to stay here. Now, if you're going to stay here, then you have to make the best. And you have to make and find your place in this particular situation.
And there's a message here from one of the listeners, just giving a bit of inspiration. And they say that their son-in-law had lost his small business during the recent riots. And then they go on to say that their family lost their business in 1981 in the Reicher Park riots. At that time, 14 families were displaced. But they say, with Allah's help, we open up other businesses, we started working again. It might have took a bit of time, but alhamdulillah, we've prospered, so we should never lose mercy. We should never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, if a person does effort, he keeps that positive mindset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely replace that which we have lost.
Yes, and then see, we need to pick up the pieces. I mean, there's another aspect that I think is important. There was the Everton riot some time back. I think if it was not mistaken, it was in the mid-80s. Right. That was perhaps the first time that, you know, there was such a wide-scale, you know, aspect of you know, looting and people losing their possessions and business. And it was very hard for the people. One of the reasons why it was very hard, the people said that we grew up there. we were with the locals. And then actually, you know, all the time we were with them. We had a good relationship. And then, of course, everything went up in flames. And people were very, very, you know, despondent at that time. But I know of personal instances where people have moved on from there. And they tell you that in terms of pure financial prosperity, they have done even far better and exceeded what they had lost. So there are these instances. I'm not in any way undermining or trying to belittle the losses that people have had. Now, the other point with regard to when we say that, you know, 97 or 98 or whatever percentage of the people, exceeding majority of the people will have to stay here. Now, when we're going to stay here, we need to find ways of making our stay here prosperous for ourselves and for the country that we are in. We have to be solution orientated. Because when you look at our history, the history of Muslims, wherever Muslims went, Muslims always played a role that was solution-based, and they were always left a positive legacy and a positive imprint in wherever they stayed, wherever they settled down. You know, and you look at history, whether it be Malaysia, Indonesia, whether it be in Spain, when Muslims came to Spain, the locals welcomed them because they looked upon them as someone who was their benefactors, someone who was going to give them good. Same happened with Indonesia, Malaysia. They started off small through the means of their positive interaction and integration through the means of their business. They changed people. Now the whole situation in Indonesia, Malaysia is a complete majority, over 95% Muslims there. How did it happen? There was no invading force that went from the hinterlands or from the traditional lands of Muslims. There was no force that went there. They conquered people by the akhlaq, by the conduct, by the way they interacted with people. So we have these type of situations where people went in there and they interacted, they made a positive. Hazrat Mu'abul Hasan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi has very greatly emphasized this in the opening of the Dewsbury Marcus. He gave a talk which is very widely quoted, that as people who might be in minority, we are in minority in South Africa, but in Africa we are the overwhelming majority as Muslims, right? And that is something that we have to take into account by putting ourselves together as Muslims of the entire continent. Right? And if you look at that, we find that he has said that wherever, what we need to do is to make ourselves indispensable by our contribution to the community and society. Now, I know people will start, you know, maybe sometimes look at that with a certain degree of hesitancy, with a certain degree of doubt. But let's see whatever we can do in this particular regard. Let us make ourselves indispensable in terms of our contribution, in terms of our akhlaq, and that is what our deen teaches. Mm-hmm. Maybe we do believe that our deen is the solution. Our deen is the way that gives us a positive way of living. If that's our situation, we would like to share it with the people. And how do we share it? We can't be sharing it by telling people, we have such a beautiful deen which is in our kitab, which is in our Quran, which is in our hadith. Read it here. We have to share it by our practical manifestation and practical example.
Yeah, I think that's so true, and that echoes one of the sentiments of the listeners, saying that we need to do more as an ummah to spread Islam, and this will be spread by our actions and the way that we interact with people, by our character. That is where they will be invited towards this great deen of Islam. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp also, you can drop us a message on 072-786-1548. Well, you can continue.
Yes, and if anyone wants to share anything with regard to whatever they feel, where they feel strongly about it, they can even give us a call. The point is that when you look at, let's look at a South African situation, right? We talk of 7.2 million people who are unemployed. I was just looking at the Google, that was what it was, the latest or the last quarter. That is the official amount of people who are unemployed. The people who are employed are 15 million. I don't know how that will impact after the latest round where people are lost businesses, maybe people will downsize, people might not open. People are going to be perhaps losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. And you know what is said, Maulana, is this, that you see, some people can have and say that, listen, if there is something that has happened, we have a month or two of surplus, or we can survive for a couple of months because Allah has given us a certain degree of surplus funds. Right. The people who are working, who are employed, they are, you know, hand to mouth. If there is no salary for 2 weeks or a month, they have nothing. They can't put bread on the table for themselves and their family members. Can you imagine the type of ripple effect this has had? I have had experience and I've heard from people who are saying, and when we talk about losses, let us not forget that it's not only Muslims or Indians or multinationals, the people who are in the townships, you know, the poor people, the vulnerable people of our community, they have suffered losses. People who had businesses in there, from the indigenous people, have suffered losses. And not only losses, now there's a talk going about this introspection that we have done something that has now put difficulty upon us, because what was available to us, you know, at our doorsteps, now we have to travel several kilometers for certain things that are just the basics. So this particular mayhem, whoever is behind it, Allah knows, and may Allah Ta'ala deal with them appropriately. But what has happened, it has created a type of situation of difficulty in many areas across the board, not to any specific race group or faith-based group or a particular type of section of the community. It has been across the board. So let us be sympathetic. Let us find solutions. And I think one of the great aspects with regard to our situation, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, one of our great scholars, you know, recently gave a talk in the United Kingdom. And that one particular portion of the talk, he said it, and I haven't made a note of it, and I kept it in one of my notes, you know. He said, as a student of history, I'm telling you that Muslims throughout history have always, wherever they settled, tried to understand the psychology and tried to understand the mindset of the people with whom they were living with, and also they tried to provide solutions to the difficulties that they were facing. So that is what we have to do. In fact, one great alim, you know, yesterday told me, he said that when you speak to people, also the local indigenous, speak to them. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِ. Allah Ta'ala says, we have not sent a Rasul except in the language of his people. Learn to speak to people in the language or with idioms that they understand. So he was telling me, and I will quote, he said, there is an idiom in the Zulu language. I'm not sure, maybe someone can maybe tell me. He said that when big people fight or when the elephants fight, then the grass gets trampled. Now, it does happen like that. There's also an English saying to that effect, but I believe there's also something very similar in the Zulu language, that when big people fight, the poor people get trampled. You know, when the elephants fight and the elephants get into a fight, then the ants get trampled. Now, in this particular situation, I mean, it seems to be a faction war that has happened. The factions are fighting and the poor people are suffering. The poor people have been trampled. Mm-hmm. And what is amazing is that both these factions are saying that we are fighting for you. But in the particular fighting, that the poor people have been trampled. How sad, how sad.
I continue to send through your messages on 0727861548. Well, there's a number of messages that have come through, you know, with similar meaning or similar type of message, where they say that we as believers need to take responsibility for this as well, in terms of correcting our actions and all of that. There, many times we find that Muslims have not been behaving in the manner that they should be behaving, and perhaps this is an eye opener for all of us.
Yes, I suppose always there's always going to be an introspection, irrespective of what happens. Even when the introspection, you see, the one difficult part that I sometimes have with regard to this, we only feel that we need to introspect when things are going wrong. There must be further introspection even when things are going right. Introspection is not only when things are going wrong. Although it, yes, is a natural thing that when things are going wrong, you start introspecting and you start thinking that maybe we should have done this, maybe we should have done that. But in terms of pure, introspection, it's a constant thing that we need to introspect all the time.
And then more in terms of, you know, uplift of communities, helping those that are underprivileged, many people have also said, you know, I think there's two or three messages that have come through saying that We need to help the people in our own communities. Many times we are sending charities to other places and there is a need for it there, but we need to look in our country as well. Many people that can't afford to go to school or even higher education. We've read now recently so many children have dropped out of school. So we need to see what we can do for our own community first, help them instead of sending it to other areas. And we should not look at religion. We should not look at what background or race or whatever it is, but try and help and build our own community.
I think what I would agree with that, unless there's a serious situation abroad that has led to major catastrophe, and sometimes there are catastrophes where people have lost major type of things, and sometimes you would like to help people who are out there. Sometimes there's a natural affinity to help the people of Palestine because of our emotional attachment to that. I can understand that, and there's a scope for that also, but at the same time, because we are one Muslim brotherhood, irrespective of wherever we are, but I think priority should be given first to our own backyard. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said he is not a believer who eats his fill while his neighbor is in a place and he is hungry. Now, that doesn't mean, we can be... You see, there's two things that I must make mention with regard to it. That we are living in a very unequal society, I made mention with regard to it. Until this country does not become a little bit more equal, the chances of it becoming less violent are even less. Mm-hmm. And that is not something that is against our objectives. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran in the 28th Supara in Surah Al-Hashr says, كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَةِ مِنْكُمْ. Wealth should not circulate amongst only the wealthy and the richer class of people. Because if that happens, then the society becomes unstable. It becomes unstable. So, Karitayeb Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has made mention in the past also, there were people who were wealthy and there were people who were not so wealthy. But there was never such a great gulf in the living standards of people. So now you have this particular situation, a very great gulf in the living standards of people. So one of the things that we need to be doing is that we need to be playing our role with regard to it. We might not be able to resolve it, but whatever little we can do with regard to it, we need to be doing. And that is our legacy that has always been part of our history. Mm.
It's 40 minutes to the hour of 10. This is the social program on Radio Islam International. This week we are discussing the lessons that we can learn from the recent unrest and turmoil that we have witnessed here in South Africa. Drop us a message or give us a call. The lines are open on 011-854-1548.
Mike, yes. Now, what, for example, let us be more like, so the one aspect was saying that how do we do that? And there was another point that the last message made mention, I thought, so I'll just add on to that.
About uplifting the communities more and helping those that are underprivileged.
Yes, now that is, now no one is saying that we must provide a complete resolving of the issues and come to the aid of 7.2 million people who are unemployed. Maybe we're not able to have the capacity. But one of the things that we need to be doing is let us be sympathetic, let us be kind, let us be at least understanding of certain types of people's difficulties. And wherever we can, to the best of our ability, we might not be able. There was this very famous incident of Sirri Sikti Rahmatullah Ali, right, that he was one day in with his few murids and it was very cold and he had a nearby shawl and he was not wearing the shawl and he was shivering. Some said, why don't you wear the shawl? He said, just for a moment, I want to understand that those people who are out there, who are shivering in the cold, who don't have the shawl, who don't have the means to cover themselves, how they must be feeling. Now, can you just put yourself in a situation? How must those people who must be feeling? And you see, we need to be part of nation building. And I think this is very important. We need to take the situation of race out of the situation and be part of nation building.
Mm. We do have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Mulana, can you hear?
Yes, you're live on air.
Chibai, you know what, Mulana, I need your help, because I'm working in the township for the last 40 years, very big township, and in the last three riots, members of my family lost millions. And, I have reached a stage, I used to help a lot of poor people, especially the black people. But now I've reached the stage, Mulana, I don't have them anymore.
All right, now.
You must please give me advice. Because I now, at the moment, I honestly, I'm very bitter inside. And, you know, I listen now, I'm finished.
Yeah.
Please, Maulana, give me advice, because now I have reached, now they just clean my son out. They, 84, they clean my sister out. 19, before Mandela became president, they clean my sister out in Durban, Uganda. How long are we going to make suburb, Maulana?
Yeah, but all right. What alternatives do you have? What are you trying to say, that we must not be good because Sharia tells us to be good? Must we not be good because other people might have not been good to us?
You know, Maulana, I'm still there. I'm still working there. I sit with some of these friends of mine, the black from the community, and then I say, but where were you? They said, no, we didn't do it. I said, but she said, no, I can't do it alone. I said, but you've got neighbors, you've got friends, you've got people who are working in the malls, and they cleaned out all the checkers, the shop rights, all those ladies. In my area alone, in the two malls, 2,000 people lost their jobs.
Yeah, all right. I think you brought up a very, very important point. Let me attempt to try and give a response to that.
Yeah. I'll listen.
Jazakallah for that. I think it's important that it came up. Firstly, you see, the point is we cannot do good based on the response we get. Allah in the Holy Quran says, وَيُتِمُونَ التَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينَ وَيَتِيمَ وَعَسِيرًا. Feed the people out of the love of Allah. Out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not because of how people respond. إِنَّمَا نُتَعِمُكُمْ. We are charitable لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. For the sake of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We do not have... لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't have jaza and shukur. We don't expect gratitude and we don't expect recompense from the people whom we are doing good to. So that is one of the things. When Nabi Akarim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just remember, Nabi Akarim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was forced out of Makkah, right, because of the circumstances, because of the oppression. Allah made wisdom. The wisdom was he came to Medina. Medina became the city of Islam, and from there Allah Ta'ala granted victory. Inna alladhi farada alayka al-Quran laradduka ila ma'ad. The one who has revealed the Holy Quran will bring you back to the place where you were expelled from. Allah Ta'ala made it such. So that will always, you know, and then the people who were against him, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after conquering them, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go, I have forgiven you. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them extra compared to even the Ansar. Right? And then when Nabi Akarim, never mind, that is after conquering them and having control over them, because now he was a conquering army. But when Nabi Akarim Sallallahu came to know, while they were in hostility, while they were fighting with Nabi Sallallahu, that there was a drought, and Sahaba and the Muslims at that time were not very prosperous, mm-hmm. Nabi Akarim Sallallahu sent 500 gold coins to them to help them in the drought. So that should lead us. And of course, as I said in the very beginning, and I make mention of it on it, I don't think we'll be able to understand the losses of people. We sympathize, but we don't know. And this is one example of a person who is manifesting and venting what actually happened. So we are fully, you know, cognizant of what you are feeling. But Jesus, just consider what I have said. And that is one thing that we have to keep in mind. And also another important point is, you know, the people who looted, we can't generalize that everyone from a particular race, if someone, from example, of someone of ours does something that is wrong, right? Mm. Then it doesn't mean all of us are wrong. If someone from a particular race does something wrong, it's not everyone in that race is wrong. We can't generalize to that particular aspect. Otherwise, it's very important for us not to make that generalization. And what we need to be guarding, again, I said that previously in my previous clip also, that the extreme voice from both sides must not become the norm. We have to stay away from that. Mm. So what actually happens, sometimes one gray race group says, that person, that race group, see what he said in that clip. But that is one isolated voice, isolated extreme voice. So then these people, the same race group from the other side said, see, that particular side said, kill all of these people. But then that particular is an extreme, isolated, it's not the majority of the norm. So the extreme voice we need to isolate.
Mm.
and not make that the norm, which is very important. Otherwise, once the extreme voice becomes a norm, then that is has serious repercussions for the entire stability of the country. Mm. Although already we are seeing, I was there and I had a one-to-one with people who were in some of the areas. I to the best of my ability, I encouraged them that let the religious leaders from those particular areas get together, to work together for the betterment of the community, for the safety, the security, and going ahead how to work together.
I continue to send through your message. Just a few minutes left on the program. We are discussing the lessons that we can learn from the recent unrest and the violence and the rioting that we have seen here in South Africa. Drop us a message 0727861548. You could give us a call as well on 011-854-1548. Molana, the one message is saying that there's probably many that feel like the brother who just called in now, and we can understand the pain that is going through because a person has lost a lot, but at the same time we need to understand that whenever we do something, do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world, maybe a person might not see the benefit of that, but as a believer, you will definitely see that reward in the year after.
Yes, that's exactly the point that I was making. I think also another way that we really need to be, my view that I think we really need to be working on is a culture of now starting to empower. You know, how do we help people, mentoring people, helping people, getting people up, you know, on their feet? And I know maybe people will say, we might not see the results, but at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala brings results. We need to do whatever we need to be doing.
Mm. And one person saying here that don't judge a nation by the opinion of a single person from their race. We know we live in a world where every person is entitled to their opinion, but that doesn't mean that it represents the entire
race. The same thing. I mean, the same thing can be said with regard to our own community. Now, I need to be very careful when I talk about our own community. We mustn't make the mistake of saying that Muslims are only from one particular ethnic group. They might be quite a bit of them. They might be in one area. They might be in a majority, but they're not. Muslims are not from a particular ethnic group. Muslims are not only Indians. Mm. Throughout the African continent, Muslims are the black people also. Senegal, for example, Mali, for example, these are black African countries in Africa who are overwhelmingly Muslim majority. And some of the masajid that you get there, which I do a series on some of these masajid, are remarkable in terms of their size, in terms of the amount of people they attract. So we must be very careful of ever portraying this particular aspect as Muslims. Mm. And I think one of the things that we need to be doing, which alhamdulillah, much has been done in this particular regard, that we do give a lot of charity, and may Allah Ta'ala increase our charity. But also maybe we need to be also doing in terms of charity is developmental charity, or charity that uplifts people. So the normal type of things that we say, don't only give a person a fish, give him a rod that he will be able to catch and be able to stand on his own 2 feet. Mm. These are the type of things. And that doesn't only happen in terms of, only in terms of money. You know, sometimes you can be mentoring people. You know, some of the things that, for example, there is a family or there is a culture in your community that you have always grown up to be business people. So you got a certain culture with regard to, in terms of running a business. Now, there might be a certain, a group that might not have that particular experience. Share that experience with them. Tell them that, listen, let me give you some ideas of how to do this so that you can also become prosperous. Don't look at things only in terms of, competition. Let us look at cooperation. Through the means of cooperation, Allah Ta'ala make our things grow.
Inshallah. Well, we've come to the end of the program. Anything else Ma would like to add before?
No, I just would like to say that, this is what we need to be doing. I mean, sometimes we gave the examples in history of people who went into areas and they changed the situation for the better. I gave you the example of Indonesia and Malaysia. I gave the example of Spain. I went to Spain 2 times, and I've done a lot of reading with regard to it. And one of the things that said that when Muslims came there, the local people welcomed them because they looked upon them as benefactors. 8 centuries thereafter, the same people who welcomed you were the ones who expelled you, yeah, who didn't even want one of you to live within them. What was the reason? Was it because of your extravagance and that you cut yourself off from the law, from the people? Was it that? Was it because you didn't take an active part in understanding the local people, to understand their psychology, understand their needs, to be sympathetic, to play whatever role you can in terms of doing? What was the reason? Why was it that they welcomed you and then afterwards, you know, they turned against you? These are the type of things. So if Allah Ta'ala has given us something, there's a very beautiful saying that I normally quote in many of my, discourses. This is that when Allah Ta'ala grants you more, Allah grants you, whether it be wealth or Allah gives you talent, then don't make your fences long, make your tables longer. Allah. Don't go and now go into isolation and make your fences longer. Because one day even these fences also will be perhaps breached. Make your tables longer to be able to share. I know it's a difficult thing, and I really thank the brother who called in, because it is something that might be in the minds of people. But let us look at it. Maybe, inshallah, by us looking at it in a positive way, Allah Ta'ala might bring about positive consequences.
Jazakumullah khairan for the lovely program and the advices that were shared on the program. To the listeners, the podcast will be available on our website in the next few hours or so, for those that would like to listen to a recording. And you can check our social media handles as well for the link to that podcast. That brings us to the end of the program this week. We say Jazakumullah khairan to Maulana, and inshallah we'll be back with you next week. Until then, from the team, yeah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.